before, but I have been working on it very hard, and I'm quite sure it's not really satisfactory, but there you are. It does have an epigraph, a couple of lines of Hardy. The title, by the way, is Merrion Square 3, Leinster Lawn, in curtain, bonnet, and light array. There was a bevy now on the ground. A children's party in Leinster Lawn, pinafores, sailor suits, nannies, and tricycles, in an old photograph, a shy, determined boy faces the camera, as he may yet face the gunfire on the Western Front. That stage set of gallery, museum, or future parliament will not prevail over that great upheaval.
Thank you, Charles. And next up is Bernadette Gallo.
Another day on Patrick Street. Crouched beside you, covered by tarpaulin, on a mattress of sorts, in a doorway to somewhere. You doing a crossword, young, beautiful face, eyes tired from many sleepless nights. Your man lying back, up on one arm, brimming with possibility for the future. Construction engineer. You, a bioscientist. Studies arrested. Thank me for stopping for a chat. A chat, he says, is preferable to a euro any day. Thank you.
Thank you very, very much, Bernadette. Next up is Sue Bloom.
The turn of the year felt like everything was really, really still and stalling. And I haven't written for a long while, I guess because there's so much on in my life. But then I went out on Saturday to the event that Stan maybe tagged me in the Trisco. It was for mental health. And afterwards I wrote this calling. Oh, by the way, this is so fresh off the press, it's not even through the computer yet, so forgive me if I stumble or it's not quite finished yet. Really. Calling. My wall is thin, my skin is paper, and locked into my solitary vault, my heart is cold, so cold and longing for someone to lift a finger and dare to touch that place, all sore and red from crying unshed tears. My wall is thin. With one spark of a fingertip, ever so gently, that place will blossom, will become gleaming light, flowing with the river. My skin is thin. Come revive the beat, my heart the pulse, so longing to be warmed. You touch the flower, and water flows again unfrozen. My heart is fire. My skin is thin, and this paper calls for you.
See what happens when you go to festivals with mental health awareness that tells you to use your creativity to ease your pain. That's the kind of thing you get. Simon is next.
Thank you. This is the first drop, but I want you to try it out. It's called In Memoriam 2016. They're gone. They meant so much in those early years when a character falls. Journeys down rivers, drinking all the tea in China beside fragrant orange groves. Listening to rivers answer, touching your perfect body with her mind. Suzanne, Marianne, sisters of mercy, laughing and crying about it all again. Remember well the Chelsea Hotel where poets mourn, returning from retreat with 10 new songs, replenishing coffers stolen. They're gone. They meant so much in those early years when character falls. Dirty mind party like it's 1999 in the purple rain, cypher psychotic with a touch of genius, body dysmorphic, Major Tom. A man who came to stardust Earth, Ziggy, a lad insane, ground control time flexing like a rock and roll suicide whore. Fashion, turn to the left, turn to the right and face the Doom Squad. Mice in their million hordes from Ibiza to the Norfolk Broads. Fashion, changes, turn and face the strain. Don't look down, under pressure, no, ashes to ashes, just dancing in the streets. They're gone. They meant so much in those early years when character forms. Thank you.
Yeah, 2016 was a shit year when you think about it from that perspective. Very brave to read that when my Gary's in the room because you don't know all the music is the centre of the universe. And it's a Barry and Prince don't exist up there. Mary O'Connell is next.
This isn't really a poem as such, but a little piece that I dreamt up. It's based on lots of puns on vegetables. So if you get them, lovely, but they're so obscure that you may not. It's called The Punning of the Greens. Ladies and gentlemen, we are here to celebrate the Vegetable Olympics. I must admit, I was surprised when asked to spinach. I was born in Belgium. Indeed, I was a keen Brussels scout. But avocado, good command of English, so I agreed to turn up for this grated event. At the beginning, it was so crowded that I didn't have much room to mingle with everyone, but I did meet a pal who had been my parsnip when we played squash. The fact that he was German meant that he had aubergines and would beat me often. This bok choyed me, and as the Argus grew apart, I saw myself as a has-been. But now I was so keen to meet him up again that the new olive I knew again, that now I live to renew our partnership. In conclusion, I hope that we can all be true to the spirit of the Olympics. Let us from foreign entities, and stay away always on the Swede and Narrow. Unlike Patiki, I have refused my salary, though it causes my art to choke.
Our Mary is indeed a wonder. I'd love to know what you were drinking when you thought of that. Next is Patricia Walsh.
The vestigial flight. Nothing was too good, or too bad for that matter. Hold up in literature, choice call. Local surprises giving way to confession. Taking the piss where intended, storm trooping the colours. Hugging corners, a slight misdemeanour. The patriarch is dead, long live the king. Kickstarting intelligence in an offering pint. Now isn't it cold, bleeds for me. A round trip in the river calls the sight. Scoring marks in school, a beaten track. Faraway stimulants, too much to consider. Sounding elitist, but not too polite and too straight. Soaring between anger, a hated apology. Spinning on the ground, fearing the heights. A commercial enjoyment of living the night. Slugging in pity, somehow fitting the crime, caring where deserved and divided state, stench of stolen perfume never getting caught, acquired otherwise, wasting space, entry and exit in record time. Being a fashionable god, I know, where first love dies and all in between, lighting in infinite candles to stall the wishes, counting costs of improving another self, a rote of funny words, next in graphic worlds.
Thank you. Thank you, Patricia. And next up is Seamus Harrington.
Thanks, Dan. I was lucky enough to be on Spike in final class night. And who was there? Mike Garrett. Got a great reception and a great plug for all the entry. This is the first time I've done this poem here today, this year. Free downloads. They've altered my application, activated my archives, booted my browser, buried my broadband, bookmarked my bits, connected my console, captured my cartridge, clicked on my cookies, commandeered my cursor, dropped down my devices, delved in my downloads, documented my data, dragged out my driver, displayed my desktop, erased my errata, encrypted my emails, fancied my favorites, fumbled my floppy, fragmented my fonts, firewalled my folders, gorged on my gigabytes, grouped up my game ports, hijacked my hardware, hacked at my hyperlink, hung out my homepage, hosted my hard drive, inserted my icon, interrupted my intranet, jellied my Java, jumpered my jack plug, keystroked my kernel, kneaded my knickknacks, logged on my laptop, labeled my language, massaged my poor mouse, merged with my modem, minimized my moniker, muddled my memory, memorized my moniker, negated my network, networked my nonsense, opened my outputs, outsourced my options, plagiarized my process, programmed my printer, punctured my pop-ups, partitioned my password, queried my QWERTY, questioned my query, quoted my quandary, braided my right click, recycled my registry, selected my software, sampled my startup, serviced my smart drive, scheduled my scanner, sentenced my shortcuts, trespassed my trackball, trojaned my toolbar, discovered my uploads, underlined my undo, violated my version, vetoed my vectors, vented my volumes, wormed in my window, winkled my wizard, x-rated my excerpts, yawned at my yarns, zeroed my zip drive.
That's what Russian hacking looks like. You might say that to Donald, would you? Might actually convince him it fucking happened. But it's still Adam's next.
Thank you. This one's a bit dark, but I hope you like it. Time. Once time was planted, it grew an oak that owned fruits that spoke, a chaos chorus that brought a wet dawn with a yellow warning moon, as well as the sheeting skin of the fruit itself. And when time dictates, it will subside the oak's strength and will cause the doomed fruit to fall. Its fate dictates where it lands. I take my axe and pelt its tooth into the oak's black layers. It bleeds humanly as I kill it. And protecting my doom, it's what I need to do. As the knots hail everywhere, the monster thunders. It cracks onto the ground, disintegrates into fertile ash. I walk away, task complete, mission done. I pretend I'm a hero of worlds. But time invisibly takes the fallen fruits and bed them deep in its mother's ashes to grow more. The soul's one doom grows more. Thank you.
Thank you, Philip. We like that, you should know that. Cedric Picon, right? Woo!
Talking about shady plots, I was inspired of writing this one, thinking about these places that I was surprisingly allowed to access, only to regret afterwards entering. It's called Misfortune. It's not a true story, by the way. With barely enough clothes over the heart, sparkles, sparkles, spins, spins. Like a wild dice, misfortune. To the beat of the club on the floor, seems an easy win, spins, spins, like a wild dice, dances to the tune. Shines like a million diamonds, sparkling, both a jewel and a queen. An appeal to which no joker is immune. She can deal with any bad hand. The dame against four kings wins. She falls against all ends, leaving three towers to rule. When on the way home, rather a spade of an ace, sorry. When on the way home, rather an ace of spade than a king follows, slithering. Grab the scantily clad lady very soon. Swiftly, she draws a blade. An ace from no sleeves to hide in. Give an explicit silent message to the groom. With a poker face, she threatens. He will try his luck in, knowing why she's called misfortune.
Thank you very much, Cedric. Kenny Morris?
The assistant to the Simon Aristotle.
Yep.
I want to play guitar, I've got to be honest. I put my boot to it, subconsciously like that. The man in black.
Relax, breathe in, hold it, and out. Breathe in, hold it, out.
Aware that he was being watched, Zosimus Twist continued to stroll nonchalantly through the grand black iron gates of Hyde Park to his usual green bedraggled bench at the lip of the Serpentine Lake, where he sat down, stretched his long leggy legs, and sighed the solemn sigh of a true fatalist.
Breathe in, hold it.
Through May to June, each Wednesday noon, I sit here to the same tune.
And out.
I hereby, when dead, donate brains and body to the Department of Astrology, NASA. That is everything except eyes and testicles. Preserve these at all cost, pickled in ethanol in a lead-lined safe deposit box in the vault of the beefiest bank, in case one is sent back to spy again and procreate. Wringing his hands, heart and mind in mortal turmoil, even the familiar ducks on this placid oasis make a detour now around and far away from his brooding.
Breathe in.
From better to worse, he mused and cursed, the upward breeze of coloured kites behind him.
Hold it.
Tomorrow morn at dawn, I'll end it, I will, and save myself from the inevitable humiliation that is my lot.
And out. Good. Practice this simple exercise whenever you feel these panic attacks coming on, and at night to help you sleep. Luck with the exam, Mr. Twist. See you next week.
Thank you, Doctor, and goodbye. Academic education had been a painful process for Zosimus. Schooled by Jesuits, he excelled at rugby, cricket, most field events, and was the envy of all at chess. In accordance with his father's principles, he then attended Oxford University to study law, Latin and Greek. Having little to say in the matter of his life's direction, however, he developed a deep resentment to any form of authority. Before long, much to the dismay of most, his reputation for mischief and chaos, verging on anarchy, preceded him. Altercations with his peers, police, publicans, and parents accumulated, resulting in his eventual dismissal and his disinheritance. He dropped out dramatically. At every turn, he sidestepped responsibility, and with the agility of a circus flea, he sprang through the underworlds of London, Paris, New York, and Dublin, found fellowship and solace among marginal friends of the like, whose paramount business ways and time was spent ducking cumulus clouds loaded with unpaid bills, writs, and the wrath of ever more ungrateful wives, lovers, and siblings seething with goodwill. Having crashed, blazed, burned, and bombed his way around great ascending and descending granite blocks of life, it all came to pass in these daily noons of solitary stock-taking reflections, pulling the crown and crested scrolls from his overcoat pocket, he fashioned a boat to push and float upon the water. Then he leaves a note on the bench, which read, "To the man in black, never cherish the worries that meet you each day, for the better you treat them, the longer they stay. Just put them aside with a smile and a song, and something much better will hurry along and on." And so hurry along himself now he must, past Speaker's Corner, Buckingham Palace, and the Mall,
to number 10. Big Ben struck then, a call to all ministerial men, that by a twist of fate, providence and divine intervention, a murderous plot and tragedy of global catastrophic proportions has been massively averted. Good evening. This is the 9 o'clock news. Yeah.
Thank you, Kenny. Next up is it Mick? Is it Nona or Nona or Nora? Shall we get Mick?
This is about kind of the sixth sense. Since I started writing poetry, I suppose I did. I think I always had it, but sometimes I was weak in the sixth sense. And you know, when you're weak in the sixth sense, probably your nature probably carried away. I don't know. This is always saving it. See things unseen, hear words unspoken, feelings in the gut, heed them or get stuck in a rut. Sense demons concealed. In time, all is revealed. No clue how the mind works. Sometimes darkness lurks. With the greatest will in the world, best plans become unfold. Cannot write the true script. A higher power will have it ripped to shreds before my very eyes. Let him show me the greater prize. To be won without endeavour. Let me forget it, never.
Thanks, Mick. The solid is Newman, but he's not the Minister for Finance, he tells me. Now, if you're out about towards the night and you head towards the Haven at about 7 o'clock, you have a chance to hear a full reading from Patrick Cotter, but right now you're just going to get one poem. Patrick is next.
Brodigan moaned. Are you writing a new poem? Said the Japanese girl. Her hair shimmering like a dark and discovered continent. I'm trying, musing over odd vacant imaginings, distracted by the jungle beat of the bar's soundtrack, which shakes the potted palm leaves by my side. I'm trying, I say, above the underfed baby's wails. Sometimes the words come more easily here than in a silent room. The indiscernible voices, multiple exhalations, clattering of glass and cups, if not inspirational, are at least companionable, making the great trek through the word veldt less lonesome. Maybe I should have said all this rather than just, I'm trying. What I said turned her around like a self-correcting Sony robotic puppy hitting the skirting.
Thanks, Pat. Rab? Is he still here? Sorry, good to see you, Rab.
An old anarchist poet. You slavers with your money, your establishment and all, your stocks and shares are invisible and so are all your laws. You've bully boys in blue suits and armies stocked with fools to keep in line the common folk that break your stupid rules. You've leaders full of cancer and Valium and speed, and when the hawks around them squawk like fools you ought to take heed. And still you fight the same wars that your fathers fought for years. Why won't you not accept a truce and save us all the tears, because I see it with my own eyes, your institutions crumble. Flocks of whining civil servants, their plastic worlds a-tremble. And when Wall Street windows open and recession's clouds appear, while people starve, use capitalists, you'll walk the streets in fear. So be sure and heed my warning now, or when the day of judgment comes, you might find yourself up against the wall, facing your own guns.
Oh my lad, flocks of whining civil servants, fucking love it. Clara Moore is next.
Sorry, I'm having a bit of trouble there recently over recent. Okay, so the title is Silver Spoon Fed Kids. The greasy foot oiled with the confectionery pampers of inheritance. Labour is trashed into an irony of idleness. Wanting all with no effort. A swift, conciliatory note hammers down on the pedals of ignorance. A pew of hapless vegetation cringing at the pace of every parable. Christ plundering with the enormity of sins. Stop it! A shrill, strident spit dampening the sermon. Money shoved into an inner pit of consternance. A jeweled pocket coughing the irony of embezzlement. Money contorts itself into a mammal feasting on the teat of greed. A suckle restoring a clogged reservoir appeasing the fresh overload. Drain me, drain me, drain me, it pleads as money curls round, eating the barely perceptible aperture. Like a midwife, it cajoles dilation of greed to spurt out a 7-pound baby swimming in sin. Thank you.
I'd love to repeat that last line, you gave it a shiver, so I'm not going to bother. Kieran McArthur.
Teeth guard the voice box. Customs officers for anything getting in or out of the main thoroughfare of the body. The enamel grill that protects the processes of vocal expression and prepares the necessaries for ingestion. Border patrol, growing stauncher with every attempted invasion, clenching tighter and gleaming whiter as the imperial world takes all manners of measures to dictate the workings of the throat. To get in beneath the surface and make melodies with your chords to play the same tune as those all around, harmonizing to sound a resounding yes. Every day the body is breached. The forces of profiteers and buccaneers smuggling unknowns into your body, unknowns concealed in vague sentences in a language meaning nothing, not to be understood and so impossible to be objected to. Poisons of the mind that manipulate its output, rigor mortis for the imagination. Feral humors and spirits that are inhaled through clenched teeth and seep in through the chambers of the ears, impossible to close. Losing your language from your tongue, tear gas sprayed from malicious mouths, and disembodied voices that warp your every no into a yes from a factory of consent. Where the clearer your stance, the harder they work to distill some ambiguity. When you said no, didn't you mean no problem? No worries. Of course. Do it. Do it. Do it, Ben. See, you really wanted this all along, didn't you? Deny it. Go on, deny it. Deny it, Ben, and deny it again. And as you try and catch up to the speed and nonsense of their speech, your hesitation is seen as a key to a lock and through they pour. And you, it's not just anyone, it's you, known as no aggressor, hoping only to hold no grudge, no grievance, are recognized first by your rear teeth, a tense showing of beauty, and flexed spine, and raised fist, and prayer beating, hair thumping, adrenaline flowing through every inch of your convictions, commander-in-chief of all of your beliefs, every man an extremist. With valiant courage you face your fears, but it is impossible to close your ears. Infiltrated by information that means nothing to you, filling you with nothing but angst and a longing to be somewhere else, do something else, meet someone else, experience the fruits of a disappearing world with them and their fun friends and lie in their warmth at night. Propped up by light and noise, like hot air filling a balloon. With eyes glazed, drunk on confusion, where your ambition is a series of games quenching your desire in the shortest space. This is how convenience tastes. Don't you like it? Don't you? You do. You do, don't you?
Thank you.
Now you know what convenience tastes like. Hugh Morrissey is next.
Woo!
My poem is
one second.
My poem is about the kind of the theory behind genetically inherited alcoholism. She flows in my veins, treacle black as the reaper at dusk, telling me that somehow I'll awake anew one day. I know she lies, for I've seen her consume you, ravaged by memories of past wars. A genetic companion, a helping hand with a voice grip ever tight, spiteful in her generosity, sincere though in her plight. I'll bring you to places of grandeur, ivory towers from which to fall, but never let you hit the earth, for my hand extends once more.
That's a theory that can keep a lot of people very fucking occupied in this country. The theory of inherent alcoholism. I'll be awake all night. Anyway, last up on tonight's open mic is a man whose name I forgot, Christy. You have to tell me, but I remember your last name, Christy. Christy Parker.
All right, you're with Father Jack. Don't ask Jack.
Okay. We continue that later.
Yeah. All right, Jake.
I haven't been here in 2017 yet, but I knew I was coming up last night today. I knew last night I'd be coming up here tonight, so I thought I better write something new because I've been recycling a lot in 2016. So obviously to write something, I have to turn off the television. Turn it off RT, thanks be to God. It just says, Dancing with the Stars. Have any of you seen Dancing with the Stars? The greatest girl of Boba, Christ Boba, I'm shy that I've ever not seen. I did. Because I've not seen Dancing with the Stars. I haven't seen Dancing with the Stars. No. I haven't seen Dancing with the Stars. Now I'm going to have to live with the scars and getting hocked at by people who slow down in cars and point their finger at the world's greatest prick. Calling me thick, even sick. Here he is, kids. Quick, throw the brick at the guy who doesn't watch Dancing with the Stars. I haven't seen Dancing with the Stars, the greatest TV show ever, 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 ever made by RTE. Copying the BBC. What the fuck is the matter with me not watching Dancing with the Stars? I haven't seen Dancing with the Stars, and now I won't be served in bars by staff or any medical qualifications who say I'm too bizarre and whisper loudly in my ear that I'm scum, man, scum, yeah, scum, 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 Neanderthal scum.
a bum who's worthless to come, but I've been watching Dancing with the Stars. I haven't seen Dancing with the Stars. Should I repent for all the money spent by RTE to keep the likes of me from TV3 and blissful apathy towards reality? I don't know who's dancing in Dancing with the Stars. I'm in a different orbit to those people in Galaxy Montrose with twitchy toes whose sole purpose in the universe that seems to me to be to pose on trailers, tweets, tubes, and tuberty by getting up everybody's nose with salaries amounting to God only knows. Look at me with sympathy. Fear not my toxicity. The man who doesn't seem Dancing with the Stars. I, the wretch who voted with his feet, not the seas or any repeat, 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 repeat after me. Better off dead, better off dead, better off dead. Off with his head, they said. Pour his entrails on the floor, singing back to Channel 4. I haven't seen Dancing with the Stars. But I bear it with me to the grave, tormented, spat upon and jeered, each day at dawning to be feared. Undone by choreography, slapped down by mediocrity, the subject of much mockery, until at last my fading breath precedes the final wave that primes this poor pariah to stand before the great Messiah up amongst the stars. And he will ask, as God must do, what the hell got into you? Not watching Dancing with the Stars. Be damned if I let you win for such a monumental sin. Ah, but he will. For I, now risen from my pit, will take God's hand and lead him to the truth of dancers dancing with the stars. But God Almighty, no one must know the rest of it. I don't have a license to watch that shit. Thank you. We're going to have to start a betting process. We can't have people coming here who haven't seen Dancing with the fucking Stars. Just not fucking up. This is a night of high fucking world culture and people need to watch Dancing with the fucking Stars in order to attend this type of event. Obviously that's not true. Okay, I'm just going to leave you with a poem of my own, written using Paul Weller's song title. This is called Blink and Ulysses. Above the clouds, dreams of children drift off amongst butterflies. Early morning rain echoes around the sun and a pink dragonfly, invisible on white walls, is waiting. Around the world, just like yesterday, the news of the world, rip up the pages, rip up the pages, wakes up the frightened nation with pity poor Alfie. A bullet for everyone, everything has a price. At the foot of the mountains, mermaids crowd out of the sinking. Sea spray steams on golden sands and heliocentric birds rise and fall above a coconut grove. In the city, heavy souls sitting in limbo, returns to driving nowhere, work to do and bitterness rising on arrival time. That promised land leaves them wishing on a star. Around the lake, golden leaves are falling from trees that sleep the sleep of the serene. Andromeda touched the start of forever and leafy mysteries call you to that spiritual feeling. Down in the tube station at midnight, a porcelain soul asks a man of great promise, have you made up your mind about my small personal fortune? The porcelain gods, like fortune cookies, don't make promises. So David Watts circles into tomorrow thinking, my whole world is tumbling down. Now the night is here. One bright, precious star circles the cosmos. He is the keeper of dreams, illumination, standing out from the universe. This is the truth, he says as you lean into the light. Even in the modern world, when you call me, I want to make it all right.